Would you open up to Acts chapter 27? And Lord willing, I'm going to teach a little bit here tonight and on this thought that it's not over till God says it's over. Amen. We know that, don't we? It's not over till God says it's over. And I know it's a passage of Scripture that we're all familiar with, and the Lord had just kind of come along and he just put a statement in my mind, and when that statement came into my mind, it immediately took me to this passage of Scripture, and I began to see some things out of here that can really help us, amen, in our walk with God. And so I'm going to begin reading verse 1, Acts 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail the coast of Asia, a Macedonian of Thessalonica being with us. Those big words are hard to sometimes get, aren't they? And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go on to his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salom. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. That word admonished there means he advised them. He advised them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in," meaning not fit or convenient, right, to winter in, "the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." I want to look at this passage just a little bit different tonight, but there's some things that are very familiar to us as we look at this scripture. How many of you know that as a child of God, we will and do sometimes face storms in our life, don't we? We face difficult situations. We face difficult things that come our way. They can sometimes be, you know, I mean, there's storms of just various reasons. Maybe somebody, you know, that their storm is they're dealing with sickness. Maybe their storm is they're in financial trouble, or their storm is a relationship, or their storm is, you know, we could just put all kinds of things in there that we realize that because we are Christians doesn't mean that we are going to be exempt from all these things, right? I heard somebody tell somebody, "Hey man, you got to get saved. If you get saved, you're just not going to have any other problems in your life." really? I was like, are you sure about that, dude? You know what I mean? You're not going to have any more problems in your life. No, we all are faced with problems and we're all faced with difficulties. But the blessing is that as the children of God, we have the Lord to go through those things with us. When you're out there in the world, you're just on your own to go through it, right? You just face all the hardships and the difficulties and you just somehow make your way through it and that's all there is to it. But with Jesus, it makes all the difference. And so as a Christian, I understand that there's going to be times in my life where I'm going to go through some things and I'm going to face some things and I'm going to have to deal with some things. That's just the way it is. And the good part about it is that God knows how, number one, to take us through the storm. And number two, He knows what He wants to do in our hearts and lives through the storm. Amen. Because everything that we go through, God doesn't just let us go through things just so that He could sit up there and go, had enough suffering yet there, Bill? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Feeling bad enough there, Diane? You know what I mean? You really want me to stop? You know what I mean? He has no delight in those things, but He does have delight in using those things to make us to be the individual that He wants us to be. And then there's times that we go through storms, and sometimes there's storms that, hate to say it, but it's the truth, we've brought them upon ourselves. Isn't that right? I mean, we go through something, it's like, well, that's kind of pinned that one on me, right? I did it to myself. But the good news that I want us to know tonight is that regardless of the reason for the storm, we can be assured that there is always hope in Jesus. And that's really where it's at, right? There's always hope in Jesus. And so when we look at this situation, and I'm looking now at what has taken place and what has happened, I think it's pretty easy to say that this was kind of a storm of their own doing, wasn't it? It was like a storm of their own making. Because when they got on that ship, Paul, he clued into the fact that, hey, this is not good. It's not good for us to set sail here. It's not, because there's going to be loss of life. We're going to lose the ship. It's not a good thing to do. And however, nevertheless, however, but, whatever, the centurion didn't listen to Paul. And so they just kind of went on and said, well, let's just kind of take off here and let's go here and we'll see what happens. Rather than just stop, we don't see any account of any discussion even taking place here, do we? We don't see where, you know, maybe they would have said, well, Paul, what makes you say that? Or Paul, you know, what do you know that we don't know, Paul? You know, what's going on here? No, just nevertheless, let's just proceed on. And so, really, I see them, and I see them in this storm, and it's really a storm of their own making. But like I said before, whether it's something of our own making or if it's something that we just find ourselves in, either way, God still offers hope. And God still offers to help us. He may not take us out of the storm, but He will walk through the storm with us, won't He? And that's what's important. You know, sometimes we struggle hard to get out of storms rather than say, Lord, will you just take my hand and walk me through the storm? Right? Like He did with Daniel in the lion's den. Like He did with the three Hebrew boys. Were they not facing? That was a storm to face, wasn't it? That was a difficult situation. And God did not deliver Daniel that he did not have to go to the lion's den. He still had to go to the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys still had to go in the fiery furnace. But the difference was God came and shut the lion's mouth. Jesus was in the midst of the fire with them. Gives us biblical proof that even if He doesn't take us out of the storm, He will go through the storm with us. I mean, I find that very encouraging. Amen? Because there's just a lot of things we just don't want to do without Jesus. There's a lot of things we don't want to, you know, have to face without Jesus. So I see that this storm here now, it was of their making. This could have ended, you know, right here at this point if they had said, Paul, okay, we're going to hear what you had to say. We're not going. Oh, no, if you perceive that there's harm and there's danger here, we're just not going to go. And that could have been the end right there. Right? They didn't go. Pick it up somewhere else. And on another day, they weather was just perfect. The water was perfect. The winds were right. And they could just set sail and go. And so, you know, as we look, and we look as they start off, they kind of have this destination in mind that they want to go to. You know, he said, verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. So they kind of had a destination that they were thinking, that if we could get to this destination, then maybe we'd be okay. But then what we see is when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. So right now, they're out there and they're on the water. They've set sail and they're going. And it looks like maybe Paul really might not have known what he was talking about, doesn't it? I mean, things are just kind of going along, and things are kind of like, well, you know, you can almost picture the centurion and them talking and saying, you know that nut Paul we got on the boat here? You know, the one that said we shouldn't set sail, we should have just stayed where we... You know, everything's just going just fine. It's just a soft little wind. I've never seen a boat break up in a soft little wind. You know what I mean? I've never seen, you know, much danger come from this soft little wind that blows. And they're just kind of going on and thinking that, wow, we got this. We're going. It's going smooth. Here we go, you know. And then we come to verse 14. That's right, Brother Bill. Something changes. Says, and but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind, like a whirlwind. It was a violent wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. In other words, we just kind of let it go to whatever happened, right? The wind's just kind of taking it however it goes. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Wow. Right? Wow. Now, if you're not used to the ocean, as I am growing up on the East Coast, the waters, man, they can not be very friendly to you, right? I remember when we took that cruise to Alaska, the first day that we were on the cruise ship, there was hardly anybody standing up. And this is, you're talking now about a big cruise ship. Those cruise ships, you know, they're like the length of a football field. Them things are huge. They're 14 stories high. They're big. They're wide, right? And I'm telling you, that boat, as we got out there on the water, that boat was rocking back and forth. The waves were coming up to where the window was. You could just, you know, I was in the room and I'm looking out the window and the water and the waves are coming right up to the window. Some folks are saying, oh, not me. You know, just got like a little adventure. And everybody is, if you're trying to walk, you're like this. There's furniture moving all around because the water is so choppy and it's not very forgiving. So the ship was quiet the first day. Everybody was just about in bed taking Dramamine just to keep from, you know, and with that upset stomach and everything, and people could not get up. I mean, it was just dead silent. And I think about that, and I'm thinking about this big, huge vessel. Well, I don't think they were out there on a cruise ship. You know what I mean? I think they were out there in just a little bit of a smaller boat. So you can imagine what it was like when it says there's no small tempest lay on us, right? I mean, the winds are furious and it's just coming at us. This was not a good situation. And I can understand why they would have felt that all hope was lost. What are we going to do? What are we going to do here? And so they tried to do everything that they could humanly possibly do to save themselves. Do you realize that that is, in our lives, the natural human tendency when we find ourselves in a storm? And they were fearful. Storms can make you fearful, can't they? Right? If the doctor comes in and says, Bill, I hate to tell you, but you have cancer. Boy, fear can grip your heart right quick, can't it? Right? Something happens and it's like, woo, fear hits. And generally speaking, when fear hits us as individuals, fear starts to put us in survival mode, doesn't it? Isn't that true? Fear will drive us to survival mode. I got to do whatever I got to do to make it here. I got to do whatever I got to do to get out of this situation. I got to do whatever I got to do. And I just go frantic trying to do this and trying that. And I'm going to see if this will work and if that will work. And everything that I can possibly think of, I'll try to do to dig myself out of the situation or to dig myself out of the storm. And we go through all of that and we do all of that. And then all of a sudden we go, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. It seems like there's no hope here. It seems like, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this. And one thing that we see, if I had been on this boat and I knew that Paul warned them ahead of time, right, to not set sail, I think I would have wanted to have gone to Paul and said, Paul, I know what we did was dumb here in setting sail, but you got any news to get us out of this? What do we need to do? Paul, could you call on your God? Paul, could you see if God would help us? But we don't see that, do we? We see all their human effort, everything that they've got, we see it all kicking into gear to try to survive the storm. Sometimes when we're faced with a storm, it is a very good time to ask a lot of questions to God, right? To really stop and ask God questions. Lord, why? Lord, where did I go wrong? Lord, is there something I need to do different? Lord, is there another approach? Is there another perspective? Lord, what do I need to do here? What is it that I can do that you can help me here with this storm? God, show me what to do. We don't see them praying. We don't see them talking to Paul. We don't see anything here taking place other than their attempt to try to save themselves. So I look at this and I realize from this that one thing that God wants to do in all of our hearts, in all of our lives, is bring us to that place where we have total and complete dependence on Him. And we know that without God, we're going under. Without God, we will sink. Without God, we're not going to make it, right? Without God, nothing's going to happen. Without God, that's just the way it's going to be. But this is where we see them, and this is where we find them. So think about this. They started out with knowledge, didn't they? They started out knowing, because they had already been dealing with some contrary winds, right, before they even got on the other ship. And in verse 7, it talks about how the wind wouldn't suffer them, right? The wind was just doing a number on them. I mean, they were just facing it. They already had that knowledge when Paul stood up and said, "We can't do this. We shouldn't do this." And they went ahead and they set forth anyways. And so that's why I say we could look at this and say it's really a storm of their own making, right? I mean, had they listened to Paul, they would not have got into this situation. So as we, look on, and we realize that, and we should as Christians realize that the main thing that God wants to teach us in all situations is this: He's all you need. Is that it? Wait a minute, that's not very profound, is it? Shouldn't this be like something that's like, there's got to be more to it than He's just all I need. No, there's nothing to it at all. He is just all I need. He is just all you need. He's the answer to every problem. He has the fix for every storm, right? He has the answer for every single thing that we face. He's got it. And so as we look on here, and we see that they've done everything that they could possibly do, and there's still no hope that they're going to make it. They're in this desperate now situation. I've done everything I know to do. Have you ever done everything that you thought you know to do? Have you ever been successful at doing everything you know to do? You ever been successful at that? Success comes from doing everything that God wants us to do, right? Success comes from letting God help us, letting God take us through. Success doesn't come through anything other than the Lord. And so as we realize here that, and look on, we see that now Paul, who's been gone somewhere, the Bible says after a long abstinence, Paul all of a sudden comes up on the scene. I don't think Paul was in the bottom of the boat twiddling his thumbs. I don't think Paul was wringing his hands at the storm. He knew the God he served, right? I believe that Paul was down at the bottom of the boat having a little prayer meeting, talking to God. Amen? And so Paul now, verse 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." Right? Let's just put it in my terminology. Paul came up and he stood up on the ship and he said, "Hey boys, rewind. Let's rewind the film. Let's go backwards. Do you remember before we set sail that I said we shouldn't do this because why? There's going to be a storm. There's going to be loss of life." And you know, he just laid it right out there and rewind, replay, rethink. Remember that, guys? You really should have listened to me. Okay. So that's what Paul does. You should have listened to me. But then he goes on in verse 22 and he says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Paul's talking again, isn't he? So he stands up and he reminds them, as I said. And the question is, are they going to listen to him or what? Right? If I was on that ship, I'd be like, "Paul, keep talking. Paul, Paul, I want to get off this ship alive. Paul, talk to me. I can't swim, Paul. I don't want to drown, Paul. Keep talking to me, Paul. I want to get up off this ship." You know, there's a few scriptures that are really, really beautiful scriptures, and I wrote it down here. Proverbs 12, chapter 15 says, "He that heareth not or counsel, excuse me, he that heareth counsel is wise." Another one is Proverbs 11:14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." And so, you know, I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about what Paul has said, and I realize that all of this could have been avoided with just a little ear tuning, right? Just a little listening. That's an important lesson for you and I, isn't it? Because I find myself, you find yourself, sometimes in storms that God's not taking you out of. He's making you go through it. And he's the only one that knows the way through it. I don't know how to always tell people how to get through their storm. Amen. You know what I mean? You don't always know how to tell people to get through their storms. It's good to be able to hear, and it's good to be able to listen, isn't it? And so he says, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island." Right there, you see it? God wasn't just, God had the power to stop the storm. God could have done it. He could have said, "Wind, be still. Waves, cease. Water, be calm." All with his voice. And everything would have ended. But this was a situation that God wasn't choosing to work that way. God was choosing that, "I'm going to save you. I'm going to get you out of this. I'm going to help you through this, right? But you're still going to have to go through it. But I will help you. Be of good cheer. Hey, we're going to get through this, but we are still going to end up bringing our ship to ground, right? And so, verse 27, it says, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should fall upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Do you have an anchor? Jesus Christ is our anchor, isn't he? Whatever the storm that we face, whatever the storm is that we go through, we have an anchor. We have Jesus. Amen? And when you put that anchor down, that anchor will keep you just from drifting off, right? It'll hold you steady there in that spot. You may still feel some rocking of the boat. You may still feel some effects of being in this storm. But the difference is your anchor is in Jesus Christ, and he holds you steady and he holds you firm, that you don't just go off and just drift off out there somewhere. So they put their anchor down. And as the shipmen, verse 30, were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat unto the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Now here comes Paul, and he's going to speak again. This time, what's the reaction going to be? We'll see that there's a very different reaction this time than there was the first time. You see, sometimes the things that we go through, the things that we face, will teach us how to really hear and listen, won't it? It will teach us how to take counsel, how to listen to godly counsel, right? How to listen and to God's voice and God's word, and because a lot of times, you know, when God moves and God works in our life, sometimes He'll give us things in our prayer closet, won't He? But like in this situation, there's those times where He gives it to us through someone else, right? I thank God for every time that I've been through something that somebody said something to me and stood with me and helped me to think and helped me to look at something and to look, you know, to be that innocent bystander, so to speak, that can stand back and just look at the situation. You know as well as I do, when we're in a storm, what do we see? The storm. Right? That's all we see, right? Whatever that storm might be, you know, you could just imagine. Just pick your storm, right? So whatever that is, all you see is that storm. All you feel is that pain, right? All you know is this, or all you know is that, and it's all there, and that's all there is to it, right? Now we're talking right here, right? We know what that's like. We see the storm. And oftentimes, we can get so focused on that storm, and so focused on what we can see with our natural eyes, that we actually lose sight and we actually lose our way. And that's where somebody can come along beside us and say, hey, why don't we just kind of take our eyes off the storm here a minute and let's just look at it from a whole different view over here. I'll tell you, Paul was looking at a pretty different perspective than those guys on the ship with him, wasn't he? He was looking at it totally different. And when we can come a step aside and we can look and say, case, I'm not feeling the storm. Right? I'm not in the storm right now with you. You're in the storm. Let's just pretend here a minute, okay? I'm just here. But I see you, and you're in the storm, brother. You shouldn't sit up front, Brother Bill, because you make me pick on you. But, you know, Brother Bill's going through the storm here, and he says, man, he's just in a bad way. Brother Bill, look to God. Well, I'm trying, Sister Judy, but, man, all I feel is the waves here hitting against me. Man, that wind's just about making it so I can't stand up. I just can't see anything. Brother Bill, you got to have faith. You got to trust God. Well, I know that, Sister Judy, but I just see the storm. I just feel the storm. That's all I know is this storm. Right? Brother Bill, can you just hear me for a minute? Brother Bill, you got to hear me for a minute. Let's look at things like this. Let's shift your focus just a little bit off the storm. Did you ever notice how when you can shift your focus, just that simple thing can make such a major difference? Isn't that true? When you can just shift your focus for a minute, it kind of puts the storm down to the size that it really is. And oftentimes God will send people along to help us to do that. That will help us to focus. That will help us to look at things from a different view, from a different perspective, because God sees what we don't see. Right? I got two pretty good eyes with my glasses. 20/20 vision with my glasses. If I take them off, that's like me trying to help you without God. Y'all quite blurry. Even Brother Bill's pretty blurry there. Right? I don't do too good. My eyes are not focused at all. When I take my glasses off, my eyes go completely out of focus, and there's nothing I can do to make them focus. But when I put these on, I see all of you nice and clear now. There's nothing more precious, right, than when God helps us to put His glasses on and take ours off, right? That we can see clearly what He wants us to see. So we look and we see now that Paul is laying all this out there to them. And we're going to see their reaction. Paul, verse 31, said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. This was like their last hope, and they cut the ropes. Isn't that amazing? No, but God, I got to hold on to these ropes. You know what I mean? God, I got to hold on to this. I got to do this, Lord, because this is all I know to do. This is what's comfortable to me. This is what feels good to me. Listen, storms will make us uncomfortable, right? They don't make us comfortable. Trusting Jesus, this is what makes you comfortable. Amen? Looking to God is what makes us comfortable. So they took their last hope and they just kind of cut it off. One thing that I have found in my own life, and I've seen it in the life of just about every believer, is this. Storms don't come to break us. Storms come to make us. Right? They don't come to break us. They come to make us. And the only way that we can really be made what God wants us to be, and the only way that he can do what he wants us to do is we have to come to the place where we become exhausted with our trying. And we become exhausted with our efforts. Because what happens is we're just like them. First, they were trying to do all this stuff, everything they could do, throw stuff off the ship, do this, that, and the other. And they were all doing it in their effort. They were all doing it with what they were trying to do to save themselves. And it just wasn't working. I want you to know something today. And this is the statement that the Lord brought into my heart and my mind that brought me to this passage today was, we cannot find answers to spiritual problems through worldly advice or knowledge. Isn't that true? Spiritual things. I'll try to be quick here, but spiritual things. Spiritual answers. And so we have to understand that, and we have to recognize that, and we have to acknowledge that. But more than that, we have to be willing to throw all of our self-effort out in the garbage and just let it go, because it's not working. What do they say about insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over and over, but expecting different results. It just doesn't work that way, does it? And so a lot of times, because we don't know what to do, and sometimes it's hard to trust God, we start turning to everything else and everything that we can find to find an answer to a spiritual problem. Right? Some of us trust Google more than we trust God. Isn't that true? We trust Google more than we trust God. Oh, the doctor said I've got some sickness. Where's my phone? Oh no, 1% of people die with this. Oh, I'm going to die. I'm dealing with fear in my life. Let me Google, how do I deal with fear in my life? Right? I mean, it looks silly, but sometimes that's what we do. Right? We're running. You know, oh, this person, I know they went through what I'm going through right now. I'm going to go and I'm going to get all their experience of what they did and how they got through it. That's going to work for me, right? Wait a minute. Where's that how-to book I had? Right? Fear for Dummies. There you go. I like that. There you go. I like that. Fear for Dummies. But you understand what I'm saying? And it's we scramble. Okay? So I'll look at this expert and I'll listen to that expert and they can just tell me how to deal with all my problems and deal with all my things and we'll just take it all in and I'll just apply this over here and I'll apply that over here and I'll paste that on my back and I'll paste this on my forehead and I'll just kind of be going in a frenzy because I'm trying to search out all these answers. Am I making you a little nervous yet? That's what it does to you. It gets you all tied up in knots, right? Because I'm all in a frenzy. Oh no. Google doesn't have much information on this one. You know what I'm saying? Somebody said, let's just throw Google in the trash when it comes to spiritual things. You and I have the best how-to book right here. That's the best how-to book right here. Every answer for every problem is right here. Isn't that true? Every answer for every problem is right here. Cherish this book. Eat this book. Study this book. Live in this book. Because in this book there are truths, and truths that will set us free. Right? Truths that will set us free. But sometimes, you know, we're just like they were here this day on this ship, right? But they finally gave it up and said, whew, we're going to cut the last rope here. This is the last thing we're going to do. Now, Lord, it's all up to you. God, it's in your hands. You see, they were going to go through this storm, but they were going through the storm with a promise. Right? With a promise. And so, verse 33 says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Paul, by the Spirit of God, helped them to get on track for what they needed to do. And with them getting on track with what they needed to do, it brought cheer to their souls. It brought cheer to their heart. I don't think at this point that they were any longer feeling like all hope is gone. Right? They had cheer within their focus. They were now listening to Paul. They were now focused not so much on the storm, but what Paul was telling them that would help them get through the storm. And so here now, they're of good cheer. And verse 37 it says, and we were in all in the ship 216 souls. Wasn't a cruise ship, but it wasn't a tiny ship either. Right? Cruise ships take 4,000 people, usually minimum. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, cast out the weed into the sea, and when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rubber bands, and hoised up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. God, we're in your hands now. God, I'm in your hands now. Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying all my effort. I'm tired of trying this. I'm tired of trying that. Everything I've tried, God, has come up short. I'm not getting the victory. I'm not getting the answer. I'm not getting the help, Lord. It's just coming up short. I'm just going through, you know, the motions and all that. But he says, now, everything's going to be all right. I gave up trying. I gave up on trying to do it my way. I gave up on trying to apply worldly knowledge to spiritual problems or man's wisdom to spiritual problems. I'm trading that in for God's wisdom. I'm trading all that in for God's knowledge. I'm trading all that in for God's perception. I'm trading all that in for what God knows that I don't know, that I need. I'm just trading all that in now. Verse 41, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of that ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. From hopeless to hopeful, right? To hope in Jesus, in God, right? That, hey, I don't care if I have to limp. grab a board, whatever it is, I'm going to hold on. And I'm going to trust God and only God. Amen? I'm going to look to God and only God. And if it's not God, and if it's just man's ideas, man's wisdom, man's whatever, 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 I'm going to throw that out with that old boat and just let it float out to sea. Because I got something much better. Amen? I got something much better. I got God. It's difficult sometimes to do that, isn't it? We hinder ourselves with our struggle. We really do sometimes. It's hard to let go because we don't know the outcome. You know, I was thinking about this today, and boy, does man not really fight for control? I mean, when you think about it, you know, we're as human beings, it's the one thing we just fight for so hard is control. I want to control the storms. I want to control which way that wind's going to blow. I want to control how high that wave's going to get. I want to control this, and I want to control that, and I want to control this over here. And God says, I don't want you to control anything. Because what I have and my solution and my answers is far better than anything you'll ever get from another human being. Amen? Anything you'll ever get. And not only that, it will bring you through the storm. It will make you stronger. It will make you more stable. It will increase your faith. Only good comes out of letting God put His hands all over our storm. Only good comes out of that. Amen? So I just want to encourage you with that tonight, that, you know, we might be in storms. Don't lose hope. Amen? Take your hands off of it. Let it go. Resist the temptation to get your hands back in it. Because you get tempted that way, don't you? We all do, right? Lord's not fixing it fast enough, right? His timing's not my timing. Everything's not going the way I thought it should, right? Just back off a little bit. Just back up. Just back up. Reminds me of a funny story. My brother-in-law told me one time he was in the store, I think he was at the post office. He's waiting in line. And he just came in and did the normal stand behind somebody in line. And I guess this woman in front of him didn't like him standing there. And she just turned around and she said, "Back up! Back up!" Right? Sometimes we need to just back up a little bit. Right? Just back up a little bit. Okay, Lord, I'm going to get out of the way. Come do what you need to do. Lord, I'm going to throw it all out here. And God, I'm going to let you just come and do what you want to do. And let me tell you something, you won't be disappointed. Amen? You won't be disappointed. It may seem scary. It may seem hard. What if I let go? What will I hold on to? What if I do this? What if I do? Don't worry about all that. God's already got that covered. It's already covered. You just don't know it yet. You just don't see it yet. He's already ahead of you. You think He's right here? No, He's already ahead of you, working and moving and doing things. So be encouraged tonight, would you? Let's pray. Father, we just love you tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord. And God, I just pray and ask, Lord, that you would just quicken this deep into all of our hearts and all of our lives, Lord. That God, we would just, Lord, just approach every storm in our life that we face, God, that we would approach it, Lord, in the way that you would want us to approach it. And God, that we'd let you work and do all that you want to work, Father. And God, where you need to redirect us, Lord. Redirect our thinking. Redirect our hearts, Lord. God, just redirect us, oh Father, Lord God, that we might do, God, what is necessary and what needs to be done, Father. Lord, to be able to get through the storm, Father. God, we just ask you to pour out of your Spirit in every heart. Pour out of your Spirit in every life. Take us home safely tonight and bring us back on Sunday, Lord, for a great moving of your Spirit. And God, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.